Oh, boy, between the news I'm getting this morning, there are a few busier guys right now in our business than Bill O'Reilly, who joins us on KCMO Talk Radio in Kansas City. Killing the Mob, the latest number one bestseller. He's got an event coming up with President Trump as well. Bill, congratulations. This is great news for you, and the book was absolutely outstanding. So congratulations on that.
Well, I appreciate you reading it, Pete. I know how busy you are, and you have to go to bed, what, 7 at night? So, I mean, you don't have a lot of reading time, but you knocked it out, and I appreciate that.
Well, Bill, I want to, you know, I was thinking about the book and just a question or two to ask you after wrapping it up. And here's what I came away thinking about. If, and there's no way to know this for sure, it's rewriting history. But had we not used the Sicilians and the mob to help us in World War II and basically give them access to the U.S., do you think the American mob is what it is today?
You know, yesterday was D-Day, the 77th anniversary. The mob is not what it used to be. It's not as powerful as it used to be, where from 1946 to 61, organized crime was the most powerful entity in the USA. So it's not there, but it's controlling most of the narcotics distribution, billions and billions of dollars these thugs are making. But, you know, if you read Killing the Mob, you'll know soup to nuts how organized crime was established in the USA and how finally the federal government confronted it. But to this day, it's a factor. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. So, you know, Bill, and I was thinking about just the where it is today. It's certainly not where it was. But when it was at its peak, the way that it kind of became Hollywood-esque and the involvement of guys like Sinatra and whatnot, what did that play when it came to the American viewpoint of the mob and the movies and whatnot? How did that play a role in law enforcement, possibly for a time being soft?
Well, J. Edgar Hoover was compromised by the mob. According to Lucky Luciano, who was the first godfather, the first Don Corleone, if you will. They had something on Hoover. We suspect it was something to do with the fact that he was gay. Mm-hmm. But we don't know for sure. Martin Dugard and I could not find exactly how the mob was extorting Hoover. But J. Edgar Hoover, the head of the FBI, did not investigate the organized crime, deny there was even a mafia in existence. And so they were allowed to pretty much run wild for 15 years in America. I mean, it's an incredible story that people don't know about.
Yeah. And, Bill, it's hit number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Well, Bill, you know, I see this morning now that you're going to be going on tour with President Trump as well. I mean, this is big stuff. I heard you tease it, by the way, on BillO'Reilly.com on your TV show. You were talking last week about you had an important phone conversation with him, I guess it was tied to this. So what do you guys have going on?
Well, we're going to do a limited nationwide tour to talk about the history of his administration, which I don't know about because it was never really covered. You know, the press basically came down on hating or loving Donald Trump, but they didn't tell Americans what was happening. Here's a good example. How on earth was an anti-COVID vaccine developed in 7 months? How did that happen? So Donald Trump's right in the middle of that, but we don't know how it happened. And that's what this tour is. The history, the 4 years that he sat in the White House, how things worked, what exactly happened. None of that is on the record. None of it. And, I mean, I got this idea on Inauguration Day with Joe Biden, and I said, I don't know anything about Donald Trump's. I know what he says. I know what the media who hates him says and the media who loves him says, but I don't know what happened, and now we will. So what we've done, Pete, is we've booked 4 shows. The first one is December 11th in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at the BB&T Center. And then for you guys in Kansas, we are going to be in Dallas at the American Airlines Arena on December 19th. This makes a great Father's Day and or Christmas gift. And then Houston on the 18th of December at the Toyota Center. So we're playing, obviously, big venues.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that if I weren't actually doing the show, I would go to the show. It's going to be, you can imagine what it's going to be. If you can't imagine it, just Google O'Reilly Trump interviews and you'll see the interviews that I've done with the president, and they're not cupcake interviews.
Yeah.
But we're going to get on the record as much stuff as we can about as many topics as we can. And I think this is going to be one of the best shows that anybody's ever seen.
Yeah, you're going to have 20,000, I mean, at those two arenas, to say the least. So, you know, Bill, what was it like? What did the president say? Was he nervous about this? Was he all in? How much convincing did it take to do something like this with him?
It took some convincing. You remember I wrote the book, The United States of Trump, okay?
Yeah.
And it sold 500,000 copies, and it's no powder puff book. It's exactly how he got elected. But then it stops, see, at his election. He thought that the book was fair. He gave me access, obviously, and we write about that. But he knows that this isn't going to be a rally.
Mm-hmm.
So it took him 2 months to ruminate about it. finally said, all right, we'll do 4, O'Reilly, and if they go well, we'll do more. No, I don't know if they're going to go well. He might want to punch me after the first one. I don't think so. I mean, I'm going to be respectful, but I'm certainly going to try to get as much stuff on the record as I can.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Just announced this morning, tickets are going on sale next Monday at 10 o'clock. Bill, news of the day. We had some stuff here in Kansas City that's gotten a lot of traction over the weekend. There were some groups Friday night. They rallied down to police headquarters, anti-cop movements, and they put a coffin on the steps of the police headquarters with a dead pig dressed up as a cop inside with the phrase, the other white meat. And we've heard from a lot of people in the police community this morning who are livid, naturally. The local media basically blacked it out all weekend. But this is happening all over the country, Bill. What is the push from those folks looking at this movement and saying, hey, we need to defund the police. We don't want cops in our communities. Where is this coming from? Because it just makes no common sense.
Well, it's coming from the radical left. I mean, that's where it's coming from. And they've co-opted some so-called civil rights groups to help them do this. But the Black Lives Matter outfit, that's not a civil rights group. That's a political group. That's a Marxist group. All right? And that's where their aims lie. If it were looking out for African Americans, certainly Black Lives Matter would be demonstrating in Chicago, where tens of thousands of African Americans have been murdered.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't see any of that. But anyway, the radical left despises the criminal justice system because it believes that America is the fault of all crime, that the only reason that people sell narcotics and kill and rape and maim and all that is because they've had deprived upbringings, which is the fault of the country. I mean, this is how crazy and far out it is. I mean, we have this problem in New York. Ocasio-Cortez said over the weekend that the solution to the unbelievable surge in violent crime in New York is to do away with prisons, not have them. I mean, you know, you're just looking at it. What are you, 4 years old? I mean, really. So my message to Kansas City law enforcement is very simple. Ignore this. All right. They want this kind of attention. They're not credible. Most people in Kansas and Missouri don't believe that the cops are bad and out to hurt people. So I know it's frustrating, but kind of just walk away from it.
Yeah, it's tough, but you're right. That probably is the best play. He's Bill O'Reilly. He's on KCMO in Kansas City. Bill, on the note of, you had a very good piece over the weekend about interactions with Tom Hanks. You tied it into, you know, critical race theory, what we're teaching, history, tying it into Tulsa, the 100th anniversary last week. And you talked about that on your show as well at BillO'Reilly.com. What, as a former teacher, Bill, how concerned should parents be about what is being taught in the classroom and the political angles that it seems like are being taken every single day in classrooms across America, not just New York and California, but here in Kansas and Missouri as well?
Very concerned. You know, I sent my kids to private school because I did not want them to be indoctrinated by irresponsible public school teachers protected by unions that couldn't care less about the children. So I sent my kids, and I'm sending both of them to Catholic colleges as well. And it doesn't have anything to do with religion. I mean, obviously, I want them to be steeped in Roman Catholicism because it's been in my family for centuries. But it has to do with a point of view. So if you get a principal in a school, and it could be a private school as well as public school, that buys into the progressive movement, that's what your kids are going to be handed, and you, the parent, are going to have to sit by and watch. Now, you can go down to the school board and jump up and down. You can write threatening letters, but they're not going to change because you don't like it. So I think parents should be very, very concerned about it. If you can't afford private school, then you have to do your own education at home. But that pits the kid against the teacher. And it's a very, very volatile. And in fact, as you know, Pete, some states are now passing laws against teaching this far-left garbage. So it would be illegal. And I think those laws have to be considered.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Bill, before we let you go, you got the exciting news with the president, the tour that's going to be starting later this year. He spoke over the weekend in North Carolina. He said, you know, hey, we got to flip the house in 2022. I'm looking forward to 2024. He just kind of put it out there. What do you think the odds are, Bill, that Donald Trump wants to do this again and run for president in 3 years?
I know he wants to run for president. I mean, I don't have to think about it.
He does.
Told me. Yeah. But is that possible? Now, therein lies the question that's unanswerable. I mean, you got some real stiff competition. You know, DeSantis in Florida, the governor down there, very strong candidate. Kristi Noem out in South Dakota, very strong. Tim Scott, South Carolina senator, very strong. So, you know, one of the things I told the president to convince him to do this history tour with me is, look, you got to get a lot of stuff on the record that nobody knows about. If you really want to run and really want to, you know, change some minds about you, you really have to be methodical about the history of all this. And I think that resonated with him, but I know he wants to run again.
Interesting. Well, be sure to check him out. BillO'Reilly.com as well does a four-night-a-week show that's a must-have if you're a premium member as I am. Bill, always great to have you on KCMO. Really appreciate the time.
All right, Pete. Thank you for having me. I appreciate that. Bye.
You bet. Bill O'Reilly on KCMO Talk Radio.